Good morning, everybody. Welcome to IT Live, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Good morning to you, Roaster, as always. Today is going to be all about the team. We're going to talk the scrimmage notes, the comprehensive scrimmage notes. We're going to get a feel for where everything is at. I'm excited. Texas Boy, Justin, Don, what's up, everybody? But guess what? Guess where you can get these scrimmage notes? InsideTexas.com, guys. Go over there. All the latest scrimmage notes, everything you need to know, updated on the battles, who's where, all this stuff, how our performance is, all the insider stuff, Inside Texas, and, of course, recruiting. We have someone announcing tomorrow. We'll see if we get them, but stay tuned in, guys. And also right now, there's even more value. Get Inside Texas for $1 for your first week. As a bonus, your membership includes a complimentary year to The Athletic. And by the 2025 Longhorn Football Prospectus, Thinking Texas Football, it's Paul's book. It's the greatest breakdown of Texas, but also the SEC. Eric has a recruiting portion. There's a great portion on the modern world of NIL and roster management, the proification of the sport. All the links are in the description, guys, if you want the physical for your bookshelf like Eric's working on right now, or you can get the digital for your Kindle if you're impatient like I am. Check it out.
I'm still trying to get this room situated, as you can see.
No, I think it's done, dude. I like the confidence. I like bookshelves without books. I think you're really making a powerful point about how reading's overrated, you know? All right. Good morning, everybody. What's the hair situation? You guys have been really excited about my haircut.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it, everyone. But every video, it's some comment on it. One more day closer to kickoff. Yep. What is up, Bert? Okay. We're gonna get into it, fellas. Let's not hang around. Scrimmage notes. We had our immediate scrimmage reaction video. Go back and watch that. Since then, we've been able to gather what occurred more and actually get the how and why of some things. So let's look at game situations first. What was the structure? That's always very important to these notes.
Yeah, you got to have context. Otherwise, you know, you could just hear about, you know, the first team going crazy on the second team, and that doesn't mean nearly as much. Everything was ones versus ones, except for when they worked between the 20s, that was ones versus twos. And I think that's kind of when the offense had the most success. They did red zone and they did 2-minute drill, and that was good on good. And the defense obviously did better in that setting.
Yeah. Which we expect them to be ahead, but also they're really good.
Yeah.
So definitely. It's tough, man. How do you feel about that, Eric?
I feel great about the defense. That's what I'm saying. You know, I think like I've been saying all offseason, they're going to get a lot more help from the offense and the special teams this year. They're not going to be on an island like they were for way too often last season. So, you have to adjust for the fact that the defense is really freaking good. The D-line is really good. The D-line made it easy on the whole rest of the team, just to give you an idea. I think the defensive tackles are going to be good, not just okay, not just adequate, just, you know, flat out good. And then you got the edges, which I think we all know are going to be good. You have to adjust for the context of the fact that they're going up against one of the top defenses in the country by season's end, maybe the top defense in the country.
What do you expect for scrimmage two? This to me seems like now the offense is going to engineer more touchdowns next scrimmage, get their confidence up. What do you expect kind of next week based off of these notes?
Another important point about this practice was it was largely base defense versus 12 personnel. You know, not entirely, but a lot of it. So next week we're going to hear a lot more about 11 personnel, Sark probably moving the pocket, Arch on bootlegs, that sort of thing. Yeah, I think the offense is going to do better. That's just the natural flow of August camp pretty much every year.
Yeah.
Coach, what are your initial thoughts when you hear about the structure?
I mean, look, everybody, they go into the scrimmage with a specific purpose, right, and what they want to get accomplished, right, what they want to see. There's a lot of 12 personnel. Let's see how we look in it versus base defense. Maybe you plan on using that throughout the season, so that's up first, right? But on it, like we always know, the defense is ahead. I think it's like Eric said, context matters. Content matters as far as, like, you know, what actually happened during the scrimmage versus just hearing things like we heard, you know, things like, oh, this person went off, right? But what was the situation like, right? And so understanding and knowing that really, really helps you paint a clearer picture. But for me, like, I think scrimmage two will be a lot more detailed. I think it'd be more schemed. The offense might scheme the defense up. So you hear some success stories of players going off in worse situations. It'd be more game plan ready situations. So scrimmage one to me, look, defense, it's easy. they gel together a lot quicker. They rotate a lot. So a lot of those guys have been playing together. Offense, you need cohesiveness, man. It's you need more reps together, I think. And so first scrimmage is always kind of hit or miss, honestly. If you're rolling as an offense and defense is not looking good, then that's when I would worry. But if the defense looks good, I'm fine with it. We've been a defensive team, I guess, the last couple of years under Sark, so I expected it.
To me, the offense, I think about it like a theater performance, like people are trying to put on a play. That's the offensive job. They need timing, play other roles. And the defense is if the audience just was able to attack them in the middle of trying to do their play. So it's a little bit easier for the defense in that way. It's easier to break something than to build it. So
look at the obvious draft picks on the defensive side of the ball right now. I mean, and you got an All-American at each level of the defense. And then Michael Taff, you know, who knows? He's got Jelani McDonald is a very talented guy. Michael Taff might not even end up being the best overall safety by this season's end. Now, that's kind of blasphemous to say, but there's just talent everywhere. Malik Muhammad, Manny Muhammad is getting ready to have a massive season. So, I mean, the defense is just ahead. It should be ahead. And then on top of it, they're very, very talented.
Yeah.
And they're picking up where they left off, where offense is kind of starting over in a couple different ways.
For sure. All right, quarterback. How was the performance here? A little bit, the inconsistency hurt the offense here. So overthrows and an occasional tendency to feel pressure too early and leave the pocket stalled drives.
Yeah, that's just a sign that the defensive line is doing what we were saying, that, you know, they had their way with the offensive line for the most part. The offensive line was not helpless. The offense was not helpless. This was not a pure thrashing of the offense, but it was, you know, they clearly got the better of them. Arch missed some throws. They all missed some throws, but Arch made a number of throws too. He had one that we really liked hearing about, where him and Livingston were on the same page, read the same coverage, pointed at each other, and got the conversion made. Livingston had a couple over 20 yards. It was a decent day, especially between the 20s. But again, that was when they were going ones versus twos. I'm not worried about the offense. I'm not even sure I'm going to worry about the offense if they don't play all that great next scrimmage. Yeah, they're behind the defense right now, but like we said, to be expected.
National media is cracking me up, because what they'll do is read these reports and they'll just take this sentence and they'll put it on a graphic and they're like, Arch Manning's inconsistent. And it's super funny, man. It's like they won't read anything. It's so strange how it works with him.
Yeah, national media is for low info fans. You know, it's
entertainment more than anything.
You could read Inside Texas right now and get a better idea of what's expect from Penn State than you can from the national media.
Yeah, you know, Paul's going to have a really reasoned take on Penn State and every team in the nation. It's really remarkable. Okay, and then down the depth chart, as we kind of see that battle for Caldwell and Trey Owens. What's going on there?
That's too close to call, really. Caldwell had a really good drive between the 20s, or, you know, took it really the length of the field. But again, you know, who's he going up against? If he's out on the field, he's probably going up against the twos, not the ones. Or maybe he was going up against the ones at the time. I'm not sure. But he's got that veteran experience, the advantage over Trey. That's really it. Trey's got the rocket arm. And Trey's got a lot of intangibles too. Tough kid, smart kid, but he's just, you know, doesn't have experience. And that's one of those things that's a catch-22. How do you get experience unless you play? But how do you play unless you have experience? And right now I think, you know, my gut feeling is Caldwell will win that. I wrote an article last night about the depth chart, how the competitions are shaking out. But Trey Owens is not going quietly, that's for sure.
Running back, man.
CJ Baxter was probably the most impressive on the day. At this point, you just have to assume he's going to get carries against Ohio State, maybe 6 to 8. And then, you know, Trey Weisner's the 1A to Baxter's 1B. But, you know, Baxter showed really good patience and really good feel they ran a lot of stretch, a lot of outside zone. They feel like all the running backs are pretty patient. And so, you know, they didn't do a great job of breaking big plays, but they weren't taking losses. Baxter was falling forward when he was hit. You know, so picking up – there's a big difference between picking up three or four on first down or picking up zero or taking a couple-yard loss. So they're doing a good job of at least staying ahead, not taking losses. So, that's a decent win against this defensive line.
Surprised to hear outside zone, you know, with more of a gap focus, but it seems like they're still going to kind of base out of that world and then have the gap stuff. So –
That's well, they're doing. They are working more gap. I think I would go on to say that they are working more gap in practice. Obviously, they were focusing on certain things going into this game. I think. Well, that's another thing we'll hear more about gap schemes. I think gap schemes also tie in more to moving Arch around and stuff. But yeah. Well, it's not the full playbook. That's for sure.
And then Baxter actually was in the knee brace.
Yeah, he was in a knee brace.
Yeah. On our immediate notes, we thought he wasn't, but quick correction so you guys can know what's up. Yeah, we'll see with running back, man. It's an interesting room.
Here we go.
The battle with Clark and Gibson for the, I guess, the technically two, but really number three spot is going to be something to watch. And then wide receiver, we got some cool news out of the scrimmage here. Livingston, not Stone, everybody, Livingston. What's the latest there, man? It's looking like he's going to be our starter, actually.
Yeah, right now I've got him as a starter. You know, he's taking starter reps every single practice. I don't even know who would credibly threaten him right now. Mosley didn't scrimmage. Aaron Butler, Aaron Butler was getting open but wasn't converting the play. That's not going to get you on the field. And like I said, Parker looks to me like one of the most talented guys on the team. Big, fast, good body control. Huge catch radius, uses all of it. He's not a body catcher. I think he's going to start. I think he's going to play a lot. I think he's going to play well. Probably, be number three on the team in receptions, or at least wide receiver. He probably won't have as many as injuries. But he's going to make his share of big plays. I think he's going to make his presence felt pretty early in the season.
Look, hey, I was grinning ear to ear when I read this myself. He said dark pencil. I said, okay, yes, go Livingstone. He posted a picture. I don't know if anybody's seen it on Instagram. He said, doubt me now. It's on the inside of his mouthpiece, right? I know he got a lot of people doubting him. Like Livingstone is a legit threat at receiver. I think people really need to pay attention and take notice. Like, this guy is here to stay. He's not giving up his position to anybody. And you hear about him every single day. It means he's consistent, right? That's all you want out of that position. Time with your quarterback, takes good consistency with your quarterback. And so Livingstone provides that, man. It's going to surprise a lot of people. If you're not on the bandwagon, you better jump on now.
I knew you had to jump in there, Coach.
I had to, man. I love it. I love the kid.
Well, roommates with Arch, that matters, right? And then what's interesting is kind of with Mosley, we're like, well, he's going to be sure-handed and in the right spots, and he'll block. But the same thing with Parker, and he gives you downfield speed. So it's
– yeah.
That makes a little sense.
I think he has a lot of the intangibles that they brought in Mosley for, too. He just hasn't really proven it yet. He's a willing blocker. He's a smart player. And yeah, being roommates with Arch does matter. Those guys are going to be watching film at the same time, going over the same things. It's going to help them be on the same page. And that's probably how they made that one connection we talked about earlier.
Yeah, playing that street ball and go this way. And that's such an important feature with Arch, right? You didn't really have it in Quinn because he wasn't going to scramble out and try to hit you. But these receivers got to be able to extend the play too, right? You run your route and then he bails the pocket. Now we got to get creative, get to the sideline, whatever. So that's going to also be a new factor and level to the game. So receivers that can do that is going to be a big, big feature. He's not, though. He's not sneaky fast. He's just fast. He's fast. Just fast. The stereotypes don't work. He's an athletic guy.
Yeah, and he hates the gym. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And then Mosley did not participate. So that's another thing. So we expect, I guess, if this happens with those starters, Mosley to work in. And then we were hearing some things about freshman Dalen McCutcheon and then even some Kalik Lockett stuff. So what's going on down the depth chart?
I think Mosley's setting up to be a super sub, play both outside receivers, maybe even inside. But Dalen McCutcheon is, man, he's coming in. We've talked about him all offseason. Dalen McCutcheon, Grayson Littleton, probably the two freshmen we talked about the most all offseason. Dalen had a good scrimmage, gets open. He's kind of like, again, he's on that same assembly line that sent Jordan Whittington to the Rams. That's going to send DeAndre Moore somewhere. Dalen McCutcheon is right behind him. So he's next in line. He could play this year quite a bit. Depends on how much they want to rest Moore. But I expect to see Dalen making some plays this season.
Are those both Lovejoy guys?
Yep.
What's going on over there, man? They're putting some guys out, huh?
Had a system. Yeah, Jalen Lott,
right? Didn't they have Jalen Lott?
Yeah, they had Lott too.
Was there until he transferred?
Yeah. They're doing crazy.
Kyle Parker at LSU.
Now, this is what I'm really excited for, guys. Tight end. Stood out in scramble drills. I like that. Mm-hmm. Working well with his quarterback to find openings. I like that. Now, this was the note I put on Twitter. Spencer Shannon likely starting in 12 personnel. I didn't see that coming. I think Eric warned me of it, like, in spring, too, or somebody did, but I just didn't see it coming.
so we get asked, you know, on Inside Texas, we get asked about all 85 guys about 200 times a year. And so my statement on Shannon has remained the same. If he has another offseason like he had last year, he's going to be in line to play. He had a good offseason last year. It didn't manifest in playing time. Obviously, they had Gunnar Helm, and, you know, so this just wasn't playing time for him. This year, there is playing time. He's a 12 personnel tight end in line. So there, it's not the same thing as what, you know, Jordan Washington, even though he's 260 pounds, came in more as a wide receiver type. Now, I think Jordan does have the want to and physicality to get there. But Spencer was brought in specifically for this role, you know, in line tight end. But he has gotten better. He's gotten more coordinated, gotten a lot stronger. Mm-hmm. When you get stronger, you get control of your limbs. He's a very big guy. So it takes a little bit longer for those guys to gain their coordination. You know, those basketball players that always blow up are the ones that get tall quick after having their handles forever, like Scottie Pippen, you know, David Robinson blew up quick, but he kept his coordination. He didn't come in there with tremendous coordination. He's got to earn it over time and hit the weights, and he's done that. And he has become, I would say, a credible threat because, you know, obviously the scheme is going to help him. All the supporting skill players are going to receive a lot of attention that helps him as well. But he can be a credible receiver. Now he's an inline blocker. But this is 12 personnel. If it's 11, obviously it's going to be injuries. Injuries are going to be on the field a whole lot. And then Jordan Washington, I think, is still more of an 11 personnel tight end right now.
Is Shannon a third-year player or a fourth-year player?
He's a third-year player, right?
Yeah. The injuries is things I'm most excited for. Being able to work with Arch and be a safety blanket, that's going to be a huge factor.
He's going to be good. Really good hands. Like I said, I think the comp for him is David Thomas. I'm not saying he's going to catch 10 passes in the national championship, but I'm also not saying that.
It's the worst part about doing football analysis. You always have to couch everything. You know, you're like, he moves like that. I'm not saying he does that because the comments immediately are like,
he's like, yeah, like they would use David Thomas's outlier performance as like what the standard should Jack Andrews would be. No, he's a really good receiving tight end, and I think he's got pretty good athleticism. Banks said he's not all that big. I didn't stand next to him. I wish I would have to get an idea of how big he is. But, you know, David Thomas wasn't the biggest guy in the world either. Mm-mm.
You're right, Justin. ESPN folks probably feel vindicated after all their offseason.
See, they called him the breakout player. Ain't nobody's calling him the breakout player. That was a reach. That was they threw a dart at the dartboard.
And it's a broken clock is right twice a day type thing.
They're not even right because they called him a breakout, not a rotational productive player.
Yeah. That'd be the funniest little one, though. The rotational productive players and try to make it hype like a breakout player. And then Winston suffered a shoulder injury. The extent is still unknown. That's a bummer because he was coming on strong, man.
Yeah, we talked about him all offseason. He was going to play a lot, specifically in September. If that guy would have got snaps versus Ohio State, it wouldn't have surprised me just based on how much we've heard about him. But, yeah, we need to get a time frame on that. Sark talks to the media today at 5. Maybe he'll give us some clarity on some of the injuries, some of the bang-ups.
Cool. All right, guys, before we keep going to the offensive line that I know everyone's really curious about, let's hear a word from Academy Sports and Outdoors, y'all.
All right. Who's ready?
I'm open.
I was actually just at Academy, the wonderful retailer.
Yeah.
And I get some gels, man, for running. Those things are gross, man. The little carb gels you have to take after like an hour of working out, not good. One of them had caffeine in it, and I'm like a real baby when it comes to caffeine. I'm like super sensitive. It had like 20 milligrams, and I was like physically shaky for the rest of the day.
That's not even that much. I went Thursday and got the little guy some Jordans. He did not like the Under Armour shoes that my wife picked out for him. He came up to me, brought the box. He goes, "Dad, I want some basketball shoes." So I surprised them with some Jordans.
Yeah. The Academy is like right by my house. Like it's perfect.
So they have everything you need. It's grown man Disneyland. Yeah.
I'm there all the time. I was looking at socks, a tax-free weekend, baby.
Oh, yeah. I bought them some socks too. You love that. The Jordan socks.
Yeah. So there was, it was nice, man. All right. Offensive line, boys.
Well,
mixed results, right?
Yeah.
Well, there's a good question up the board about, you know, how good can the guard center guard combo be? I think they're going to be pretty good, actually. They're just not going to be going up against, you know, five NFL players. every week. I'm not too worried about that. They've got the running trace, and they didn't even really run plays that we're trying to gauge them on. That's going to be more of the gap interior stuff. So that's, you know, we don't have a true barometer on that, but they profile to being an upgrade on interior running the ball inside. I'm not too worried about that. The big question, of course, is offensive tackle and the depth. That was a question coming into the season. Like, you had a couple players, but, you know, how ready are they? Now, all of a sudden, Jaden Chapman is an extremely important player. And we're not sure what the exact issue is with Nick Brooks, but we do think he's going to miss some time. Not saying he's going to miss games, but we do think he's going to miss practice. And then, of course, missing practice is tough for him because he's only a true freshman. So Jaden Chapman is a very, very important man right now. Protect him and Trevor Goosby and Brandon Baker at all costs. And then, you know, I talked in that other post, the competition post, the depth chart post, where I really think that the third guard is probably Cole Hudson because Connor Robertson's ready to play at center.
Perfect.
Nice. That's sort of that's speculative, but it makes a lot of sense based on everything we've heard.
Yeah, Connor was my low-key player to watch for because of what he opens up if he's able to play.
ESPN's breakout player next year, Connor Robertson.
Yeah, there we go. ESPN, right here first. But it just allows you to move Hudson around, and that's really important when we're dealing with all these injuries.
Yeah, there's a lot of trust in Connor. He has come a long way. And, you know, that guy's going to be your starter in 2026. I feel pretty strongly about it. We don't want to see him too much if it means there's injuries, but hopefully we get to see him quite a bit in September and other games and gauge it for ourselves. But there's a lot of optimism and belief in Connor behind the scenes.
What do you do now, right? So you're so thin at tackle. These guys still need to get reps, but you're also – kind of paranoid that we can't afford anybody to go down. How do you even play that, coach? You would know. How do you handle that with your players?
I'm not sure if they're two spotting like they did a lot last year, but a lot of young guys may get more reps, especially, you know, you may see the older guys at inside run, or you get your four or five plays and kind of get out and let the young guys kind of get developed, where you're not banging the starters so much. I mean, you still got to get those guys ready for game one too, so I think you'll see a ton of young guys probably maybe get more reps. Maybe like Jackson Christian out of Port Neches Grove, right? He may get some run. You just never know. I think you got to implement the younger guys and let them get more reps, honestly.
Don't you think Sark being able to move the pocket with Manning will help the O-line and the running backs?
Yeah, it'll definitely help the O-line. Yeah, no doubt. We're going to see a lot of that. We already saw him running a lot more bootlegs in the two practice windows we got than we saw previously. He moves very well, obviously, and you want him to have that run option too. And if you're bootlegging, it's not a long walk for him to get to the sidelines and out of bounds and still pick up 6, 7, 8 yards. So, yeah, we'll see a lot of bootlegs this year.
Anything to make defensive lines more tentative is going to be helpful. You want them to be kind of overthinking things on pull reads and rollouts, and just anything that stops them from pulling their ears back either in the run or the pass will be beneficial as well.
Agreed.
Defensive line. The defensive line was the most dominant group of the day. So this position unit has had the biggest turnaround in my perception this year, and I'm really excited to hear it. But when we got all the transfers, it's like, we don't know if we got the dude. We know we got guys, but it's just seeming like this is not something you need to worry about anymore. What do you think, Eric?
Not at all. I'm excited about it. Not, you know, far cry from worrying about it. And I combined them with edges because they were both really good. So, you know, just make it one defensive line. Normally I'll break it up, D-tackle and edge, but they fed off each other. They made life a lot easier for everybody else on the defense. That's exactly what you want to hear. Now it's maybe, you know, get concerning for the O-line again, but I feel great about it. You know, Justin has a post this morning. I encourage everybody to go read that. And he says that the two most talented D tackles are Marad Watson and Alex January. And those guys aren't even, you know, with the first team right now. So they've got really, really good depth. They love Travis Shaw. I'm expecting a big season out of Travis Shaw. And, you know, Hero Canoe, we hear about him pretty much every practice as well, coaching favorite. So D-tackle's in a great spot, and I think we all understand what's going on at edge. They're very good. I think the most interesting note I think I had there, or maybe I post – yeah, it's in this one, I think. Ethan Burke working at defensive end and base, and that had Lance Jackson on the field. So that's an exciting development.
Love that, huh, Homer?
Yeah, that's good. I like that. I would go with that. And then Brevard had a productive day, but Shaw and Brevard got banged up, but they returned to action. So that clears up kind of the immediate post-scrimmage notes.
Gosh, so many bodies, man. Good Lord, we're gonna be rotating in and out.
Yeah, the interior line is something that I went from being nervous about to feeling good about. So that's always wonderful. And then a shocking development, Colin Simmons was a constant presence in the backfield and would have recorded multiple sacks if the plays had been whistled dead. Yeah, so what's new there, huh?
Yeah, they had a very fast whistle when Baxter had was getting carries and a very slow whistle when it would have been a blown-up play due to sack.
Yeah,
Sark swallowed his whistle to see how the play would play out. Yeah, Colin Simmons would have had multiple sacks. We all, you know, we all expect that. 15 sacks this season, book it.
Yeah, first step, man, is just otherworldly. And you see what those tackles jump. The greatest news ever in probably history, Eric just mentioned, is Lance Jackson getting reps. I think he's going to be a star. And they're just doing, but they're just doing a ton of stuff, of fun stuff on the line the past few practices. And there's so many options that it's almost overwhelming how they can piece this together and create sub packages and all this stuff. But Trey Moore at Sam in base formations, meaning the nickels off the field. So you're able to add that. That's cool too. That's what felt like a really natural spot for him when they said they were going to move to linebacker. But of course, we run base, but not as often. So you're going to have to find another way to get him on. But I did think that was interesting. But this is the scent line that I picked out too that I shared. If you can get the D line, because we were kind of thinking, look, man, maybe the edges can get there quickly and help the secondary because maybe we're going to have a little bit of a coverage fall off. Who knows? But maybe. But with the interior also doing that, it's a huge factor for me.
Yeah, the other groups kind of had a quiet day because the D line was doing so much work. Like, you know, each layer had a little bit quieter of a day because the linebackers would eat up plays for the secondary. The D tackles, the D line ate up plays for the linebackers. And then the secondary had kind of a quiet day. You know, especially in run support. Ty Anthony Smith had a pick off of a Warren Roberson tip. Warren's had a really, really good fall.
Yeah.
Expect to see Warren a whole lot. Think he's going to play better on special teams. You know, he might be the best athlete in the secondary overall as far as just playing football goes. You know, moves in every direction. He's a dog. He's fast. He's twitchy. He's got pretty good ball skills. Ty Anthony played a lot, you know, probably even more than I was expecting. I think, you know, based on that scrimmage, Leonga might have a bit of a competition on his hands, or at least be more in more of a timeshare than he expected. Rather than being 75-25, it might be 50-50.
Interesting.
Yeah, I love it. Make him better.
I know you're going to join.
They love Ty Anthony's upside, but I'm like, just play the better football player right now, right? They love Leonga's upside over Benda. I thought Benda played better than Leonga at times. Now, you know, just play
the better. They're very NFL focused, man. Like, we've heard these through the notes. They're like, get them in their spot for the NFL, get it for the develop. Yeah. So they're super obsessed with.
Well, that's exactly right. I've been saying that going back to all these other previous coaches. They don't have any of these guys, if they make it in the NFL, they're all playing the wrong position.
Yeah.
Because they're covering up for one blind spot. You had a miss here, so you got to play this guy here. And then you got to – now you move that guy, so you move somebody else to that. It's terrible. Just get these guys in an NFL position.
Yeah.
I don't think they need to harp on upside right now. Just play the guy whoever's better right now.
Right, yeah. That's where you can get a little bit too extreme where you're like, yeah, this player has better measurables in the future. It's like, all right, just the linebacker that's good right now, let's do that too. All right, Elijah Bo Barnes, coach, I know you're going to jump in here. Strong open field tackle. On a red zone screen pass. I think Justin's notes says that he's down to hit. So what's kind of the latest there, man? What are we hearing from the young linebacker?
That's a good sign, making open field tackles. You know, a bigger linebacker in space, you know, normally you want to get those guys in space versus your athletes. But, you know, Barnes is an athlete himself. Man, I think he's just coming along. I think he's learning from the guys in front of him. He's kind of getting – the more reps he gets, I think the better he'll get, more understanding. It's hard playing college – being a linebacker in college, right, coming from high school game, right? You see so many things thrown at you. You're trying to learn the playbook, the speed of the game. But I think he's coming along well. I think, like, next year, I think you see a guy who's going to be developed under Nansen and ready to play even more next year. So, I mean, I love to hear that. I think that room – is probably better than most people thought, and it's deeper than most people thought, right? If you got young guys making plays as well, I think it's going to continue to lift the floor in the room. And so I'm glad to hear that about Barnes.
Yeah, there's not a lot of bodies, but there's no dead weight, zero dead weight. And hearing Trey Moore at Sam and hearing Bo Barnes making plays makes me think that Bo Barnes is going to play more than people realize. That might be that 75-25 timeshare with Anthony Hill at Mike. And then that would be a seamless transition into next year with Bo Barnes becoming a first-year starter, but having a lot of experience. So that, we'll continue to see how that plays out. Leonga can also play Mike linebacker to spell Anthony, but somebody's going to have to spell Hill. And if Trey Moore's at Sam, it's either going to be Barnes or Leonga.
Yeah. Someone asked how many defensive tackles are in a 3-4. It can depend. It can be anywhere from two to three. And then sometimes you can take a kind of a tweener edge tackle into there, but that's about what it can be.
It really depends. I mean, if you look at how the Niners have ran it in the past, they would play Alfred Collins at edge. You know, they've had some really, really big edges, and then you got little Nick Bosa, who's a true defensive end. But, you know, Eric Armstead's like 6'6", 310 pounds. You know, some teams will use a D-tackle at edge in the 3-4. Now, PK has used all different types of body parts. He's never been beholden to one rigid style. Like, he's had guys that were like 6'2", 280, which would be a really odd body type for Texas to have at that position because that doesn't have the ideal length. But he's gotten it done with all different types.
Cool. Coach, you got to run. Hop back in.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
Cool, man. All right. Secondary, Eric. Let's see. Roberson, who we've heard about a lot, has been balling. Good athlete. People get mad at him for special teams. That's technique stuff. The reality is he was downfield making the wrong play, but making a play if you can switch that over. So that's important. And then Williams had a strong red zone tackle on Christian Clark. Is he just working back from injury? We kind of hear about him more rotational. I just have the OU game stuck in my head of like sure thing starter.
So well, who's coming out? You know, that's the thing at safety.
If you can get Jelani at nickel, then you can have.
That's basically what happened. Jelani got the looks at nickel. You know, we've been speculating that all offseason that it would be Jelani. Little confirmation bias in the scrimmage on that, you know, probably will be Jelani. But if it's Jelani at nickel, then it's easy. But, you know, so it seems like Derek was out there more than any other safety because Taft got a few looks too, I believe, at nickel. And Jelani and Taft were working back and forth. Jelani and Taft, there's people that feel like Jelani's best position is the same one as Taft. Right. And then obviously Derek, you know, likes that position. Jelani can play either one. Taft can play either one, you know. But it's going to be interesting to see. I think Jelani's going to play star, and then that's, you know, nothing else really matters after that. It'll be Taft and Williams.
People are asking me, does Jelani have any hesitancy to play star or anything like that?
Well, you know, like we wrote in those notes that Justin had this morning, which were really good, macro, higher level view of things. You know, the reason that Grayson Littleton has done so well is because he's the most bought in player. He's excited to play it.
Yeah.
It's a tough position. It's, you know, some people feel like, oh man, it's not going to be the greatest, you know, draft tape or whatever. We saw how much better Barron played when he wasn't banged up playing star and just out there at corner. Like I wrote, whoever the coach has put there is going to play there. That doesn't mean that everybody is, you know, running to the batter's box.
Yeah, for sure. And then Littleton, what I want to see with him is just throughout the year growing into the position. Because the tricky part is if we're playing more single high, the nickel can potentially, based on formation or concept, have to carry a slot receiver on his own without safety help over the top if they don't adjust for it.
See, that's where I think I have my most confidence in him. He's, you know, that would be like having Malik Muhammad in that role.
It's just scary if they put Jeremiah Smith in the slot purely on a freshman. I'm not even looking at it from like a talent skill because I think he is going to be your best fit for a fast slot because he's more of a corner. But I just get nervous in Ohio State in that situation.
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to see a ton of Grayson Littleton in that scenario. You know, that's what I've been saying all off. Are they going to start a true freshman there? No, I don't think so. Bert, you take the hat off your ears, buddy. We were just talking about Jelani at nickel and Taft at safety.
Yep, Taft would play that backside safety. Williams more in that kind of free ranging safety, and then Jelani at nickel. But that's why it's difficult because a lot of people want to see Jelani at kind of that Taft spot. But what does that mean? Either you bump Taft over and Williams sits, or you move Taft to star, which me and Ian did a whole show on how we don't love that pairing. So I think the most obvious thing, and Inside Texas has been on this all year is that Jelani at nickel and keep the other two guys at safety probably makes the most sense while bringing Grayson Littleton along.
Yeah, and they feel good about playing Jordan Johnson-Revelle and Xavier Filsomee too. Now, maybe they don't want to play those guys a ton against Ohio State, but, you know, pretty much everybody else will see those guys.
All right, baby. Let's get it. Special teams, dude. All right, Mason Sipley missed one attempt. Do we know the distance on that?
If I heard it right, it was like from 53 or something.
Okay, whatever.
It was wide rather than short.
Okay, that's all good. And then, but connecting on a 35-yarder in the two-minute drill, which matters because you're at least simulating some pressure and game timiness. And then Baumeister, however you say it, I posted a thing on the board showing him his day at practice at Utah. And then also I think Isaac Punts, the YouTuber, did a breakdown of him making really clutch punts against when they played BYU. And Isaac Punts is like has a punting focus. So
he's he looked good when they had him doing directional punts when we saw him in practice.
Yeah.
And he just hang it up there, man. He's, you know, I saw him, he had numerous 5-second hang times. You know, my count might have been a little fast, whatever. He's damn good. They're very excited about that.
And man, directional punting matters, man. Like everybody wants to see the booming kick, but the more you can hang it in the air or put it where you want, you can get all of your coverage to converge on a spot. You can corner them on the five, that kind of stuff, man. Directional punting matters just as much.
Big pick. Yeah, I called him the secret weapon the other day. That's a really big pickup, especially with such a good defense, man. He's gonna change the complexion of some games, I think, if the offense struggles and just, you know, flip the field, defense get a three and out, and the offense has another chance at it.
Well, and he's Australian, right? So check there.
I don't think – is he Australian?
Yeah. He's that or New Zealand, but yeah.
He's a big kid too, so I could see him being one of those Australian rules football
players. That or he's got a weird accent, dude, but I'll tell you.
Yeah, I haven't heard him talk.
Watch that video. It's all him talking.
He's a big, well put together kid. So you could see him going down there and maybe making a tackle or two.
Well, he's also like 35 years old, so he's an old guy. So he's got a lot of experience and maturity to him as well. And you need that psychologically for the position. And then quick little note on the schedule this week: 3 p.m. today, we're gonna have something. Full pads at 6:30. Thank God they're not in the heat on that one. Wednesday, they're going to have off, half pads at 3 p.m. Once again, tough in the heat. Helmets in the morning, another scrimmage on Saturday. With some availabilities peppered in, Sark availabilities. I think we're out of our media viewing sessions.
Yeah, they only let us have two, but they gave us an hour and 40 minutes combined. We'll take it. We, you know, we're appreciative of that. Sark talks to the media today at 5.
Okay, today at 5. That'll be cool. Someone doubled back on what happened with Winston. What'd you say? Did you say shoulder up here? I can't remember.
Shoulder,
what yeah. Shoulder injury.
I don't know the extent. I don't even like to talk about that unless, you know, it's just because, it, you know, you'll the hear
fans run with it, man.
Yeah, it'll be like, oh, we'll hear a grade 3 sprain, and it comes out, it was a grade 2 sprain. You guys were totally wrong. Like, okay, whatever, man. I don't know.
Yeah. We just know what we're told, man. All right. Some questions we had. My primary concern for the team this year is offensive line getting a push in the red zone. Worried about that yet, or wait a worry about that yet, or wait a couple of weeks before worrying?
It sounds like you're going to worry no matter what. So you might as well just get your worry on now, I guess. You know, don't delay tomorrow what you can do today. I don't know. I'm not going to be worried about it. I think Arch is a whole different quarterback. I think the running back stable is entirely different. Yeah, the O-line push is still going to be important, but they're just in a much better situation in the red zone with that quarterback who can run it. I think he's going to have a lot of rushing touchdowns this season, and I really like the stable of running backs. They're good across the board at running back. Maybe there's no Heisman Trophy sort of candidate, but they've got – it's a good group of running backs. The offensive line, feel pretty good about the interior. Hopefully Spencer Shannon blocks as well as we hoped when he came out of Modern Day.
For sure. A similar question. Are you guys worried that guard, center, guard isn't getting enough push? We answered that. Or is the defense just that good? This is just an opportunity for you to talk a little bit of zero sum, Eric.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's zero sum. If I'm really excited about the D tackles, then I can't be too worried about the offensive line. Because then if the offensive line was terrible, then I would be stupid to be too excited about the defensive tackles, right? Because they're going against each other. I feel good about the D tackles. I think it's going to be a good football group across, you know, all depth, you know, all six guys, maybe seven or eight. You know, I don't know how Josiah Sharma doesn't play this year. And then obviously Justice Terry has to get snaps. So let's call him eight deep at D tackle. And that's not even a sign off on or write off Myron Charles or Myron Charles or Melvin Hills. So I love the D tackle room. I'm bullish on the starters at guard, center and guard. Really worried about the depth, but I'm not worried about that. Let's see what we have. Let's see who gives us the reason to worry about it. Ohio State, you know, they replaced a lot on the D line, but they still have Ohio State personnel. And then after that, yeah, I don't know, man. Florida's got some guys, and then Georgia's got some guys. So it's gonna. OU has some guys there too, but I'm not worried about the O line yet.
That's why I love the game one Ohio State, because you get to learn early. You don't have to speculate through, you know, having four tomato cans and then trying to guess what's good and what's bad. I like that early test. You'll know what's up pretty quickly. Bert asks, how much of a step down do you think we can afford in the secondary with how good the front 6-7 looks like?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a huge step down outside of maybe ball production. Assignment soundness is going to be great. I'm not worried about that one bit. Playmaking is there because Derek Williams is a hell of a playmaker. Taft has a nose for the ball when it's in the air. I think they're gonna. I don't think there's gonna be some huge step down. Most of y'all weren't expecting Jadae Barron to ball out like that, so
I wasn't. I loved it. You told me.
I don't want to hear about all these concerns about the secondary, because the secondary was a lot better than people expected last year. So that potential is there again. Malik Muhammad is gonna blow up this season. He's gonna blow up. He's gonna at least double his career total of interceptions this season. And then, yeah, I really like we should probably, if you're going to have a concern, we should maybe talk about, you know, Kobe Black, Jalen Gilbo, but I'm not even concerned there, honestly.
Yeah. All right, we're about to hit a commercial. Do you want to talk Justin's notes next or your current competition tracker? What do you think, Eric?
It's okay. Competition tracker. They should go sign up for Justin's notes. It's $1.
Sounds good. It is $1.
And they were good notes too. Those notes got me excited. They were good.
Yeah, they were. All right, guys, before we keep going, let's hear from Andre the Lawyer.
This video is brought to you by Andre the Lawyer. If you're injured, trust the team that secured millions for their clients and helped thousands of Texans with their injury case. Car wrecks, slip and falls, 18-wheeler accidents, on-the-job injuries, and wrongful deaths. Don't let insurance tell you what your claim is worth. Hire Andre the Lawyer to fight for you. Principal office is in Dallas, but they serve Texans throughout the state. So don't wait and call Andre the Lawyer today at 214-444-8808. That's 214-444-8808. The contact information is in the description.
All righty. Let's take a look here. We talked about this in the opening, Trey Owens and Caldwell, but gun to Eric's head. Caldwell will earn it due to experience. Owens holding on wouldn't surprise him. Owens' experience in the system, Caldwell experience in a similar system, but just overall college football, live fire, all of that kind of stuff. So really not too much to add there unless you got something, Eric.
Well yeah, I think another advantage for Caldwell is, you know, he's lighter on his feet, better athlete, can run it, can bail out plays, and has a pretty quick trigger on the RPO game. So, I just think Caldwell has a little bit more advantages than Trey Owens. Sark just has such a preference for experience. You know, I don't know. We'll see. But Trey is fighting tooth and nail. You'd love to see it.
Hearing the defense was stopping our own offense is scary, though, because I know we will be one of the best defenses, meaning what if there's someone better than us? That's super common, though, in first scrimmages. Like I said, offense is so timing-based and rhythm-based, it's almost hard to hit everything on air sometimes. So I expect that. I think our defense is really good, and that's going to be an uphill battle. They'll have to scheme correctly in practice and make sure they can get their looks to actually be able to practice, because you don't just want an offense getting dominated the whole time. But in scrimmage ones, man, you should expect to hear that the defense is ahead, and that's what we heard. So that part doesn't wig me out. Now, if we're, you know, 3 days before the game and the offense hasn't scored a touchdown, then you get worried. But this is pretty normal right now at this stage.
Hey, hold on a sec. I need to see this. Wait, what's the Pate one?
Yeah. I got it.
All right. Y'all tell me who his top five were.
Thank you, Sugarcane Daddy. Not the crop. Changes his name every week. God bless you. Y'all see Josh Pate's top QB list is producing clickbait part of his new on-3 contract. No, Josh generally just goes with what he thinks. Is that the one where he did it was, I can't remember the order, but it was like Lagway, Mateer, Cade, and somebody. Put the list in there so we can have it right.
Yeah, let's see the list, dude. If the answer is no, which the answer is no, I'm not seeing Josh Pate's top five then.
Okay. So Lagway, Mateer, Klubnik, and Sellers are the top four.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
It's like
– you can make a case. If you don't have Sam Levitt in the top three, I don't know what the hell you're thinking. Klubnik, you make a case for that. Klubnik's got a chance to go.
Klubnik, yeah, he's there.
New York.
It's also – you see the kind of like big game, exciting play style, which works in college, man. But Lagway is high, high, low, lows. Same with Sellers. Same with Mateer. So when I see these kind of lists and have three or four of those names, and I think they're all good quarterbacks, I'm not saying that. It just shows me that you like a certain style of quarterback play, which is really exciting, flashy stuff, but not always able to operate at all parts of the field, that kind of thing. But yeah, they're all good quarterbacks.
I love Lagway. I've known him since he was a freshman in high school, but nobody's talking about his 9 picks. You know, like just – we don't know what his decision-making processing is going to be this year, and he has missed some time, so it's kind of – that could slow his development. I think having him in top five is a little bit too early. Got to have Sam Levitt, got to have Klubnik. Probably got to have Nussmeier too.
I was going to say Nussmeier is the one missing for me that was curious. But, yeah, this is just a – they like style, big playmakers and all of that. Doesn't always translate in the NFL, but it definitely works in college. Did you watch the SEC show on Netflix yet?
I watched the episode where it was, I had to watch the one where it was A&M in Texas.
A&M. Yeah. It's so that was interesting. They did the episode with Lagway was cool to hear him think through it. So I can't be mad at it because they all are good quarterbacks. But
I don't understand. There's a disconnect between people that are picking Mateer and like Chris Doering picked him to win the high. Like, there's just so what do you think OU is going to be this year? You know, why are you picking a quarterback to be so great and then the team to be so poor? Like that's just not because they're going to have a good defense, right? I mean, so if you think Mateer is going to be good, what are you doing? What are you picking OU to do?
Yeah, it's you will see this strange thing of like, man, Mateer, they're going to be 7-8. It's like it's a weird combination. So Mateer is
they're going to go 6-6. Well, they're not. Then he's not going to be great.
And look, man, Mateer is fun, but he has games where he's like can't do anything. And like, watch the Boise State game. Schematically, they gave Arbuckle hell, and they just blitzed his face off to where, you know, the gap that he would run to and go for 30 just simply wasn't there. They were plugging it. The Boise State game plan against Washington State was a really big blueprint. And it's also not a coincidence, you know, when they played a good team. That's what happened. Mateer's fun, though. I'm not hating on him just because he's OU. He's a lot of fun to watch. All right. Running back, competition one, Trey Wisner, the steady leader, and then Baxter. We're doing this weird thing where it's 1A, 1B, and then 2A, 2B. But it's going to be interesting. To me, man, Clark is the one that I'm most excited for and upside-wise. So let's just run through it real quick with all your latest reporting on running back, Eric.
Yeah, Wisner's going to start. He's going to get the most carries against Ohio State, but I do think Baxter's going to get himself 6-8 and just, you know, kind of announce, hey, I'm ready to be back. I think there is a real competition for that third running back, and Christian Clark is the most dynamic runner in the program. There's no doubt about it. We've heard it for a long time. I saw it with my own eyes in practice. He's just a little bit different than everybody else. But Jarrett Gibson is also a good runner. We saw the talent last year with Gibson. We didn't see the consistency. We didn't see anything close to the consistency, but he's a lot better in that regard. So they have four guys capable of starting. Whether or not Baxter's capable of starting from a volume standpoint, that's a little bit different. But they have, you know, at some point he will be ready for that. They're just in a much better spot than last year. But I think Christian Clark has a chance to break out. You know, if you went into the season with, you know, predicted totals, he would have the best chance of going over them. Christian Clark would be the guy because people are probably predicting what, like 300 yards for him or 400. You know, he's got a chance to be much, much better than that.
He's the most exciting mover by far. When you watch of those four guys running, Christian Clark, the ones you're like, okay, kind of a born running back with how he moves and the closest to Bijan's style.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with them being from Arizona. That was funny. We've heard it so much that he's got that Bijan, like those Bijan qualities, that agility, lateral agility. And to see that he's back like this after that Achilles tear is insane.
Yeah, and I say it all the time, but they move like alpine skiers, meaning forward momentum, but lateral forward momentum. And they just kind of carve through. It looks really natural and kind of effortless, and it's impressive. Wide receiver, we talked, Livingston. Mosley as a great sub. We'll see with Sark's subbing policy. It seems like we do this every year, and then you see him rarely. So hopefully there's more movement there. We talked Kalik Lockett, which I think is interesting. And did you say, yeah, he's not just a Wingo sub, right? He's not just in because you need the twos in type of thing, right?
Yeah, he was out on the field with Wingo at times during the scrimmage. Yeah, he's a good player. He's coming along. But I think the first five are pretty obvious right now with the obvious starters, Wingo and Moore. Moore had a very quiet spring game. I wonder, I should have asked to see how many snaps he even had. Livingston, I think he's going to start. Obviously, at this point, it looks that way. I don't know how that would change. Emmett Mosley, probably wide receiver number four. And then I think Dalen McCutcheon is wide receiver five. Now, that's as far as I can go by saying I expect these guys to play a good amount to a lot to a good amount. After that, it's going to be, you know, how does Sark feel about playing the freshman that, you know, Kalik Lockett. If you got Kalik Lockett out there, you probably have Wingo off the field. But if you have Wingo off the field, you might have Mosley in that spot. So it's hard to know how much some of those younger guys will play because they have a couple bodies in front of them rather than just one. Dalen McCutcheon only has more in front of them. But, you know, if Aaron Butler isn't more consistent, maybe there's going to be snaps behind Parker Livingston available.
So what's going on with Butler? Great route, but he drops the ball. Is that what the messaging is?
Yeah, probably the best guy at getting open, but he's just having trouble converting the ball. And, you know, Sark wants reliability. You know, it's basically the opposite of Matthew Golden. You know, when Matthew Golden converted all the hard catches, you know, Butler's dropping some of the easy ones, and, you know, they can't have that.
Yeah, it's scary. And Sark is tough on those receivers, man. People are sleeping on our O-line when we hit our stride. Watch out. I hope so, Jay. That'd be really cool.
And then, yeah, there's some internal thoughts that the offensive line is actually pretty good. The starters, there's concerns about depth, but they feel like the starters are actually pretty good. They're just going up against a really, 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 really good defensive line, and things are going to even out in the season. So I do understand that sentiment.
You made a good point the other day talking about putting a donut on your bat in baseball and making it harder to swing. So when you take it off, it's lighter to you. And so hopefully going up against this unit on defense is overwhelming. But once you get into season, you're not facing that, and it feels like a lighter prospect. What's up, Coach? And then someone asked, is Kobe going to get cycled in for PT this year? I feel like he's too good to keep on the bench. He might start. He's in a battle with Gilbo, so he's going to get PT as either that third corner, right? But he might end up being one of the two starting corners. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's going to play a lot. I'm beginning to think they won't just go to three corners this year, probably go to four. I think Roberson's probably going to play behind Muhammad. You know, last year I think they only felt like going as far as Gavin Holmes. This year I think they're going to feel better about going to four. Kobe's going to play a lot no matter what. He's got a real, real shot at starting at this point.
Do the coaches feel like the running backs will have better ball security this year, or is that something we won't have an idea on until the real games? Sorry, I missed asking during the running back section.
Yeah, I haven't heard concerns. You know, Christian Clark hasn't gotten real game carry, so obviously there's some concern with me there. I haven't heard about him putting the ball on the carpet in practice. Gibson, a lot of freshman mistakes. It happens a lot. He's going to be better. C.J. Baxter had a big fumble, you know, last time we saw him in the semifinal against Washington. But they felt good about C.J. all last offseason until he got hurt. And Trey Weiser, he seems to protect the ball pretty well. I'm not worried about it. But, you know, there's things that aren't going to come available to us until game scenarios. You know, it's like you can't one-to-one replicate game situations. You can try to do it, but you can't. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. For that. Tight end, we got a lot of this covered too. But you do mention Townsend. So what's just the update there with the impressive upside guy, but young?
Well, yeah, you know, he got in school late. Now if Emery's out for a while, Nick's going to have a chance to catch up to him. But, you know, I don't know that he can do the same things that Emery was. Emery was just such a natural guy at finding the soft spot and zone coverage. Nick is more like a machine that just wants the ball, wants to truck you, or wants to run by you. We'll see. Haven't heard a ton about him yet. Kind of just letting him ease into it. Obviously, he's got great size and great speed. Just the natural stuff. Haven't heard a lot about him in practice. I'll start with Emery out. I'll start asking about Nick a little bit more.
Cool. And so we think, where does Jordan Washington fit into this? Let's see. Name hasn't been mentioned as much. Is he that third guy?
Yeah, injury's backup, but he's. I don't think he's ready for in line yet.
He's not
like Spencer Shannon, but he'll probably be the second tight end if they're in 11 personnel, but the third tight end just in general if they're in 12.
Yeah, the clips of I think it was spring where we had the clips from the availability of Banks trying to teach him how to block.
Yeah,
he had a really long way to go. All right, offensive line. Brooks coming up lame, changes the math. We know the Chapman's importance now.
Yeah.
But some of the other guys I want to talk about, Kibble, Stroh, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they feel like Kibble's going to be a good player for him, but maybe a year away from now. Stroh, I haven't heard a lot, climbing up the depth chart. He's obviously a massive guy. He's been in the program a long time. You'd feel like from a assignment soundness standpoint, he'd be perfectly fine to get in there. He's been in the program even longer than Trevor Goosby because he enrolled before Goosby did. So, I just haven't heard a lot of buzz like, oh, that's an NFL player or anything like that. But as far as like being able to go in and play and be serviceable, you'd think that's the case. But I, like I said, I still think Cole Hudson is the backup guard. Because Connor Robertson could come in. I think, worst case scenario, I think Cole Hudson might even get a look at tackle if they absolutely
do. You said that a couple weeks ago, and it surprised me. But,
especially
from a running background, he's a run blocker in high school.
Yeah, but you just want somebody that's going to – you don't care about the technique at that point. You just want somebody to stay in front of the – in between the DN and the quarterback.
Yeah. At least make him take the long way, I guess, at that point. All right. Coach, how do you feel – you're from the tight end world-ish, but the blocking world. What are you thinking? You like the frontline starters, but what are the strategies going on in the coaching meetings right now, the honest strategies, trying to figure out depth and all that?
Just trying to find out what these guys do best. I think that's what the practice is for. That's what the scrimmages are for, right? They'll get their grades on how well they did and what they do, what they're good at. And coaches can kind of game plan around it like, hey, we're really good at this. This is what this offensive line does best. And then you find your right combinations. Okay, if a guy goes down, who jumps in? And what is he best? What is he best at, right? And how does he fit with the other four guys? And so, I mean, Kyle Flood has, his work cut out for him, just trying to find that maybe eight guy, that rotation of how it looks and the combination. But just trying to find success in what they do well. And then you can add on as you go through the season, right? I know it's been talked about the three games after Ohio State. Like, you got some games to kind of work in, a lot of reps with a lot of different guys in combination. So that kind of continue as far as development. But that's just the game plan right now. Really just find out what these guys do best and what group works best together, even when rotational pieces come in.
Cool, man. We'll see. Is Jonah healthy enough to vie for a starting spot, at least on special teams?
Not right now. His hamstring's been finicky, and he's not really been a full participant. So,
baseball, dude. Baseball. What a horrible sport.
Your muscles are just different. I asked Quan Cosby, one time, I'm like, hey, were you just a different athlete when you got back from baseball? He's like, yeah, man, I wasn't nearly as fast as I once was.
Yeah. All right. Any final notes, Eric? Anything you're looking forward to over this coming week?
Nah, looking forward to? Hell yeah. I look forward to every practice report. You never know what you're going to learn. Somebody moved around. I'm excited about all that. Jake Krull announcing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Krull? I don't know. I'm excited about that. I love that guy's playing style. Yeah. Like, he's, I'm not saying he's Nick Bosa, but he does Nick Bosa things on the high school level. He plays just like him, plays low. He uses that long arm. Has a great spin move, really good feet, good face up, defensive end, just a really, really fun player. Has better size than people realize. Like I say, if ESPN ranks him higher, that means he's got, the NFL sort of arm length, that stuff, hand size. So hopefully Texas can get that one. Texas is in a really good spot right now, but, OU is desperate. OU's a rival. OU's been saving money under a mattress for something.
They can just find a two-star that's comparable, Eric.
Yeah, right.
They can just do that.
They're doing this thing where they're buying position players rather than positions. And so if they're going to focus, you know, entirely on one position player at defensive end or on the D line, it's probably going to be him. And so there's going to be some nervous moments in Austin. I guarantee you they want Crow bad. But we'll see. Right now I'm optimistic, but that one could shift, you know, pretty quickly.
Can't remember if it was Sooner Scoop or whoever, but they seemed a little bearish yesterday on getting him.
Yeah.
They were kind of taking the positioning of like, but after OU balls out this season, we'll see what's going to go on. It's like,
okay. that's insane to me. That's, you know, that family's really forward thinking, I think, business minded and all that. Mm-hmm. And right now there's just a clear trajectory on which program is up and which, just to be nice, I'll say that they're in neutral, but it doesn't even really seem like they're in neutral.
Well, dude, if you're a Norman, you can get all sorts of like car wash sponsorships. You can do really maybe the local barbecue joint. So you got to think about those kind of things, man. Austin doesn't have much to offer, but Norman,
man. Pay attention to kids TikTok. Like, he's all about branding. Trust me. One place can help you with the brand better than the other.
Yeah. Is he a real TikToker? Is he a dancer?
No. He's content. Like, he has a ton of followers, though, man.
Does he? I just didn't know if it was the typical dancing in uniform TikTok or
no Casey Canes.
None of that going on. Yeah. It's normally the walk-ons that you have to get on them, man. I'd be like, dude, get out of the bathroom, quit dancing. You're embarrassing us, man. All right, guys. Guess where you can get all those practice reports, news, update, all that stuff from Eric. You guys guess right. It's InsideTexas.com. Go there, guys. It's only $1 for your first week. As a bonus, your membership includes a complimentary year to The Athletic, added value for you guys. But this will be the spot. Eric drops those notes quick, and you can know exactly what's up. You want to do it. Bye. Thanking Texas football today, guys. Paul's book. You're running out of time. You got, what, 20-ish days? Get a good feel for your team. All the links are in the description. Chat, we appreciate you. Eric, appreciate you. Same to you, Coach Dub. Y'all have a wonderful day. And then we got a full slate of videos today, guys. We're going to have Nash and Evan transitioning out of baseball season for their baseball show. They're going to be talking football. We got some cool stuff there. The reheat, of course, we're going to film today, release tomorrow. But we're going to have a special guest on Girl Herd, guys. Tune in. You guys will have no clue who it's going to be. It's going to be huge. But as soon as you guys tune in tonight, watch the Girl Herd, you'll learn a lot about a very special someone. Apparently with our itinerary we have. So have a great day, guys. This was brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Peace.